What's happening, party people? This is the voice of Rob Streeter, the second one half of the Don't Flop podcast. Welcome to the show where we talk all things basketball, NBA, and all the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, as only James and I can. James, what's up, man?
Robbie Rob, it's good to be back.
What's going on, Jay? It's early in September. Season almost here.
Yes, sir. Preseason should be starting in a couple weeks.
I think I might do fantasy basketball this year. I'm doing fantasy football now. I've never done it before.
I did it one time. A real quick story. I did it one time. I said, all right, I'll do it. I got the first pick. You know who I picked first? And he got injured, so I'll never do it again.
I did it once. No, but that can't ruin your whole fantasy experience just because of one injury. I think we should do it this year, though. I think we should do it this year. You should do it with me. We should start a league.
Ava, I'll help with the league, but I'm not picking my own team.
All right. We'll be co-managers.
I'll do it as long as I don't get the first pick.
That first pick is a curse. When I did my fantasy draft, I had the fourth pick. So it gave me a chance to kind of, you know, I'm not waiting, you know, 20 picks before I can pick again.
Mm-hmm.
But that's touching on that. We might do that. We might make that move. So this is the Don't Flop podcast. You can tweet the show at Don't Flop podcast. That's our handle on Twitter. Hit us up there. We'll talk to you. You talk to us. Very easy, very simple. You can email us at don'tflop podcast@gmail.com, ask questions, offer opinions, shout you out. If you're listening on Anchor, call in. You know we always talk basketball here, so we will always run that conversation. So getting right into things, we're going to talk today about the love of the game. It comes in many ways, shapes, and forms. It means a lot of different things to different people. So what comes to mind when you hear the words "for the love of the game"?
Michael Jeffrey Jordan. What comes to mind for me is just life, like being a kid. One of my first memories in life, and this is kind of. It'll tell you how screwed up my upbringing was. One of my first memories of life is I'm assuming my mom and dad must have got either kicked out of the house, evicted, whatever it was. But I remember being in a hotel room, balling up socks and shooting them into like a box that I cut the bottom out of, and UNLV was playing. And this was, I guess, back in like Larry Johnson. And like that time, and I remember I loved UNLV because they had the shark was the mascot. So one of my first memories in life is me playing basketball. Like I said, it's just like every memory I have, people know me to this day. Like if people will see me to this day and say, Jay, you still playing ball. Jay, you still wearing Jordans. Like everything that kind of people know me for is from basketball. So the love of the game is damn near my life. Like it's kind of crazy to explain. It's kind of hard to explain, but that's just what it is.
Do you feel like for you, basketball is something you do, or is basketball somebody you like, or is that part of who you are?
Basketball is definitely part of who I am. And It's crazy because, Rob, you know all the stuff that I've gone through over the past couple of years health-wise. And even playing now, it's just
tell everybody what exactly that is, because I know, but they might not know.
Well, it was about 2.5 years ago now. I was diagnosed, or not really diagnosed, but they found a tumor growing in my brain area. It was kind of like corroding through my skull base, my inner ear, facial nerve and my carotid artery. So I ended up losing my hearing nerve. So I lost all hearing in my left ear. But when the doctor told me that, that was kind of like the blessing. Like, you're either going to lose your hearing, you're going to have facial paralysis, or you're going to stroke out and die pretty much. So I said, you know what, let me go with the hearing. I don't need to hear out my left ear anyway. So he told me, once we remove the nerve, you're going to feel drunk and your balance is going to be off. But I didn't realize how serious it was. Like, I legit had to learn how to walk again. Like, my physical therapy was me walking in circles, and it felt like I was playing a whole basketball game. Like, that's how tiring it was. So literally going from being Mr. Basketball, jumping up and down, getting to a spot. Like, you go from being on the top of the world, not really, but you go from being on top of the world to learning how to walk again in a week. Like, it's humbling to say the least. But like, now that I've started playing again, I still feel like I'm the best player as soon as I walk in the gym. And I don't know where it comes from. Like, I still feel like I can do whatever I want. And it's just like, I don't know if, like, I feel like it's just who I am. Like, I don't know if I'm ever going to stop feeling like that. It's like, and that just comes from years and years of watching, like I said, the Michael Jordan Come Fly With Me tapes, the NBA history, learning players, listening to the games when you're on punishment. It's just like so deep inside of my soul. Like, I couldn't turn it off if I wanted to.
So how old are you? How old are you now?
33. Turned 33 April 30th.
Okay. So this, all of these, your surgeries and the tumor discovery. So that was probably right after your 30th birthday.
Yeah, pretty much. They found it in June. My birthday was in April. So yeah, pretty much a month and a half, 2 months after.
Was there ever a point a point you felt like you wouldn't play basketball again?
It never dawned on me, because like they never really told me how. They just said I was gonna feel like they said you were gonna feel like you drank a bottle of whiskey, and I'm like, oh yeah, I'll just be really hungover. You'll have a headache for a couple of days, but that'll be it. Once, I'll never forget when the nurse stood me up and said, James, you can't leave. We're not letting you leave until you show us you can walk on your own. In my head, I'm like, okay, I'm about to get the hell out of here. The lady said, put your left foot in front of the right. And I couldn't do it. And I was like, what in the hell? Like, it was just so crazy. Like, I'm thinking in my head, like, will I, like, and I, that's when it kind of clicked, like, will I ever be able to play basketball again? Like, and then will I be able to, like, it was just, that's when I kind of took on that whole, like, I attacked my physical therapy. Like, that was my goal, like, to get back on the basketball court.
So you can relate in some way when athletes go through these injuries and there are legitimate questions on, will they play again? Not necessarily injuries like injuries like ACL tears, those real major knee, those real major ankle surgeries or shoulder surgeries. I'm talking about the Chris Boshes of the world, where their heart is an issue, or like a Ronnie Turiaf, where cancer was an issue. You know, things that are necessarily bigger than the sport itself.
Yep, and it's like, it's so crazy to explain, but like, I'm not allowed to have a headache anymore. Like, if I say to my wife or my mom or dad or somebody that I have a headache, all hell breaks loose. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like I still have a VP shunt in my head right now that was placed. That was the initial surgery, the first one. So I still have a device in my head as we speak. So, but like, if you see me, you really wouldn't know it. I'm not going around talking about it because I don't want, I want to play. Like, I don't want anybody like, oh, no, we have to take it easy with Jay because we don't want to hit him upside the head. Like, nah, like, I want to rock. Like, I want you cursing me out. I'm going to curse you out. Like, so that it's like I said, it was humbling to say the least.
This is the Don't Flop podcast, Rob and James talking about the love of the game, getting into some of James' personal history. So I'm going to flip it around now. You're on Twitter. So tell the people one of the tweets you found asking a pretty interesting question about Kristaps Porzingis. It was from Kevin O'Connor.
Oh, when he said that was the love of the game tweet, right?
Exactly.
What was the moment you knew you loved the game?
Yeah, yeah. What was your first reaction to that conversation?
It was super dope. Like, you don't really see conversations like this anymore. Like, you always say, who's your top five? Who's the greatest this? Who's the greatest that? Like, but everyone always forgets about the where did – how did you even start to like basketball? Like, what was that moment? And for me, I'll never forget it. And, like, I would go home. Well, I wouldn't even really shoot. My dad got me the Come Fly With Me VHS Michael Jordan tape. And I watched that damn tape over and over and over and over and over again. I would have my little Nerf hoop connected to the door. I would watch and I would play along like that. Those moments,
I'll never. You're going to have – Don't be upset, but you're going to have to explain even to me what the Come Fly With Me tape is, because I've never seen it, so I don't know what it is.
Rob, it was I'm sure you could probably pull it up on YouTube. It was pretty much, I guess a documentary before – I guess it was that's how we – you know what it was? It was how – we stayed in tune with players. Like, that was if that was today, that would have been like Instagram Live or Periscope, like, where all these players let you into their life. Like, you didn't get to see Michael Jordan's home, how he lived at home and how he practiced until these tapes came out. So the tape starts off him in the gym shooting and talking, like he's talking in the background. But the crazy thing is, it took me to, I'd probably say, 5 years ago to realize in the very beginning, he's warming up and just in the gym by himself, but he's playing left-handed. And I've watched this since I was probably about 5 years old, and I never realized it. And then it just breaks out like there's the old slow 80s music with the dunks. Then they show how he became a defender. It showed when he scored 63 against Boston. It kind of – that was your way into learning who these players are.
So the question Kevin O'Connor posted on Twitter that me and James are about to react to, he wondered, what was the moment in your life when you first fell in love with basketball? So it's difficult for me because there wasn't – one defining moment. It's these collage of memories that sort of piece together my first experiences with basketball. I played a lot younger on the playground. I didn't really get a chance to play organized basketball till about high school. And even then I never played. I never got on a roster. So I sort of internalized more of the fan type of role. I still love to play, but I've loved being an observer. I've never, you know, so I've always sort of been a little bit on the outside looking in. I love being a fan of basketball. That's something I daydream about basketball. Literally that is on my mind. Basketball is almost always on my mind, and maybe in a different way than it works for you. I think that's really interesting how to you, it's sort of a part of you in a completely different way than it's a part of me. Basketball is almost something that playing professionally, it to me is something that's almost otherworldly. You know, I mean, I could barely make my high school team. So to be working with you, where you know you were on your way to the NBA, that was your trajectory. That's where you were, the door you were knocking on. I think for you, it's something that is a little bit more part of your DNA than me, whereas I'm sort of somebody that will just always admire it. You know, to me, it's something that's almost always going to be unobtainable to me, and I've accepted that. So I see it from a purely, you know, wow perspective. You know, I want to get excited. I want to see the best do their best, because I don't necessarily see myself as someone that could ever compete with them. So I don't necessarily maybe get as angry as you might get, because you see something and you know it from a certain personal perspective. Whereas for me, you know, let's put it this way. When you look at a 15-man NBA roster, there was a point where that 15th man, you know, could have been you.
I was saying my name was all over that 15th spot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that's, you know what I mean? So, and you would have been hungry for that playing time. So you might see somebody like an Otto Porter. Well, no, he's not a 15th man, but, you know, so one of those cuss players, and be like, damn, he's getting $10 million. That's crazy, you know, because you see it as, that should be, not saying that you still want to do that, but you have an idea of what that player has gone through. Whereas me, I see that 15th player and I think, wow, I mean, that dude is lucky as anything else. I mean, he's sitting there on a run, you know what I mean? Like, I would kill for some warm up jersey, you know what I mean? Some warm ups, like, just to be close to that. So when I hear the love of the game, it's in my blood in a different way than it's in your blood, because you walk every day as a basketball player.
At least I think I do.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think that's what's most important. And for me, I walk around as someone where that's always like a dream. You know, that's always something that I imagine it in a more fan perspective, in a purely, you know, mortal man looking at these gods of basketball playing on this court, you know what I mean? Where you might feel like, damn, like I could take them on. Like I know what it takes. You've tasted that. So I think that's really interesting. So all of my moments have to do with watching the game. Like, I used to watch the basketball games with my dad. We used to watch the Knicks all the time. You know, I'm asking him questions. What does that mean? What does this mean? Some of my earliest players that I watched were Latrell Sprewell, Kevin Garnett. I used to watch T-Mac. T-Mac was my Jordan. To this day, T-Mac is still my Jordan. T-Mac, to me, a 6'9", ball-handling, scoring point guard, was just crazy to me. Athletic. I mean, I thought he
had
the
everything.
Truth. I thought he was the absolute
defense.
Truth. He could play defense. I mean, I thought there was no stopping him, and it was tough to see how he struggled through his career. But I always followed that legend. I mean, when you talk about when I fell in love with basketball, watching him play, watching the Spurs play, watching the Knicks play, all of those collection of watching big hoop moments were what drew me in and inspired me to play, inspired me to learn how to get better, inspired me to try to incorporate that into my life. It didn't work out the same way as it may have for other people, but that's always been my vein into what basketball means to me. And I rant and rave about it, but I'm purely a huge fan of the sport. So to me, you can almost do no wrong. I mean, as long as there's basketball on TV, I'm good for it, because that's something that I can always see.
You know,
but
You know what's funny about that? I feel like now I think I had to learn how to become a fan of the game, because like I felt like it was just, especially the way the game is now, and it's almost wrestling like there's always a story, there's always some type of drama, and I didn't understand it. Like, and sometimes I still don't understand, as we've all heard over the past couple weeks, sometimes I still don't understand it. But I think that was one of my biggest issues, with just, I had to learn how to shut off the player when I'm sitting at home watching the game. Because I'll still be watching the game from a player's perspective. And I think it was Kevin Garnett. Somebody said, I forgot who it was, or was it Coach? So one of them said that they watch the game as a fan now. And when they said that, it was kind of like, oh, shit. Like, maybe that's – and then, like, I'm saying that like I was – like I'm a Hall of Famer. But, like, once you when you do something so much and you do it over and over and over and over and over again, it like you said, it just becomes part of who I am. Like – that I can't, when if I'm on a basketball court, I can be on the court with my mom. Like, I'm going to smoke her, because I don't want to, like, the competitive part of it to me is, it goes crazy. And when I'm watching a game at home and I'm going crazy because Brandon Jennings made the behind-the-back pass instead of the regular bounce pass, and I'm flipping out like a fool, but then I just have to bring my, I say, you know what, James? Yes, the fan of the game will have to tell you that's the play that's going to get the people out of their seat. And it just is funny to hear you say it, like, because that's – I'm adjusting to the fan part of it now.
So I think that segues actually really well into what I wanted to ask you. And we didn't talk about this in our sort of pre-episode warm-up that we usually do to go over what we're going to talk about, because I wanted to get your genuine opinion on this. So this – segues perfectly into that. As a fan of the league now, what do you hate most? What do you, if you were made commissioner tomorrow, what would you do to fix the game?
To fix the game as like on court or off the court?
I mean, whatever, both. So right now, so number one, what do you hate most about the league?
I hate, there's a couple things.
Well, let them fly. No particular order. Let them fly.
No, I hate.
I know what
I
you
feel
hate.
Like either
you hate how they either, act off the court.
I was gonna say, you know what? And this just might be the 33-year-old in me speaking, but I hate how, what's the word? Accessible. That I hate how you could literally go on Twitter or Instagram and DM or direct message a player. Like, and this is just the old head in me talking, because there was nothing better to me than watching TV and a Michael Jordan commercial comes on. Like, that to me, like those, like we were talking about moments, like those are the, like, moments right there when you have to be up at Saturday morning to watch NBA Inside stuff, because that was the only way you were going to be in tune to whoever they were talking to, all the games that you missed. Like, social media to me, like I said, it's great in one aspect, but then for me, the old head in me, I hate how all these players, like, you just access to them whenever you want. Like, I feel like it takes away from that, I don't know, like, that inner child that I used to feel. Like, I feel like these kids would appreciate it so much more if you only saw LeBron on his new LeBron sneaker commercial. I feel like that would be super cool again. They need to either make the rule, you either come out of high school or you have to stay in college for 2 years. I feel like there's a lot of undeveloped players in the NBA right now that don't need to be there. I hate how everything's a story, I don't want to say I hate it because in one breath, I see how these players, we have to brand ourselves now. Like my name is Isaiah Thomas, but you got to be Isaiah Thomas that has this sponsor, that sponsor, and that sponsor. So, and the only way that works is if your name is all over the place. What else do I hate? I hate that the big man is damn near no more. Especially, like, I grew up watching Patrick Ewing, Hakeem, David Robinson, like, Alonzo Mourning, Shaq.
Yes. Alonzo. Zoe used to be my man.
I saw a clip of JaVale McGee shooting threes the other day, and it just broke my damn heart. And I was like, what the hell? It is just like, whatever happens is being a – like, why can't – JaVale McGee is an under – and this might – I don't know. Tell me what you think, Rob. JaVale McGee is a less skilled DeAndre Jordan.
He's a goofier DeAndre Jordan. Yeah, I would say
exactly. Like, I feel like just be who you are. Like, I don't never want to see DeAndre Jordan shooting threes. I don't like JaVale McGee shooting threes. Like, oh, man. And I think that's one of the reasons Porzingis isn't going to develop into the player that he should be, because he's going to live at that three-point line. What else do I hate about the game? I hate the media. To tell you the truth, I can't stand the media now. Like, it takes a Don't Flop podcast to cover a meaningful event that happened in our area with Jason Thompson and his camp and how much he means to the kids. You don't hear about any, like, it's just BS. Like, it's, I don't know, the media's trash now. Why don't you take it from here, Rob?
Would you see, like, you're a traditionalist, like a you know, they say oh, well, you must be a basketball traditionalist, meaning there needs to be positions in the NBA: point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, five, center. Everyone has their jobs. Center, you block out, rebound. Power forward, pick and roll, outlet. Small forward, guard the wing, slash if you got to, shooting guard, space the floor, point guard, run the team.
I don't think I'm that old school, but I'm old school enough to remember the days where you were taught that you play the game inside out. If you have a 6'11", 7-foot player on your team, you throw the ball to him in the post before you do anything else. Like, and now your 7-footer is standing on the wing shooting threes with your shooting guard. Like, it just – they're actually trying to adjust – like, they're actually trying to become three-point shooters. Like, so it's not like they're naturally shooters. Like, I think Porzingis might be a natural shooter, but all the rest of them, they're all standing out there chucking threes. Like, I'm just not a fan of that.
Yeah, I would say Porzingis is a natural shooter. I don't think we'll ever see him, you know, low post, bang bang, post hook. I mean, maybe to throw the defense off, or if he has a crazy mismatch. But even then, I think he'd fall back on some weak up and under move. But when you look at his tendencies, what's interesting to me is when I think about what I hate about the NBA right now, I wouldn't say it's media. I wouldn't say it's positionless basketball. I would say what is really troublesome to me is the disappearance of the middle class of the NBA. I mean that in twofold. I mean in terms of players, player's skill level, player's salary that reflects the skill level. And I mean that in a way of we sort of wash out the middle of the NBA, those 7 to like 11 seeds of the NBA where they're stuck in mediocrity. And I think we have too many systems in place to continue those two veins of what's happening, those two trends. So going to the players, you either have your max contract dudes, these guys on these rosters that they don't know if they want to build around them, but they seem to pay for potential. You're not paying for skill. You're not paying for intangibles. You're paying for what that player can pan out to be, which is, I think, another thing, another symptom of what's going on in the modern NBA. We bet too much on the future instead of seeing what 100%. We have now. But
exactly.
I digress. I don't enjoy covering these transactions where players who are mid-level players, you know, that's not an insult to anybody, but to be the fifth, sixth, seventh best player on your team, but to still be getting these monster contracts because of fear of another team poaching you away. So the max contract doesn't necessarily become a tool to reward your best player. They become these tools to hold players hostage for fear that another team will sign them. You have, you know, so perfect example. I keep harping back to this, the Otto Porter Jr. signing. The Wizards were expected to match whatever types of offer sheets were to come his way this offseason. They like Otto Porter as a core player to their unit of John Wall, Bradley Beal. But I can't believe that anybody in that front office wanted to throw $100 million at Otto Porter. Now, the report, like I said, the reports were they were expected to do that. But is that because he's a $100 million player? Or is that because the salary cap now allows you to pay those kind of players that type of money in order to keep him around because Boston throws the max deal at him? You got to keep him there. So I don't enjoy how the system is encouraging these types of moves. And I think it also hurts the quality of the league when it comes to teams, because now you have the Warriors, the Cavaliers, Spurs. We have to see what the Rockets look like. We have to see how the Celtics gel. Five teams we talk about for 95% of the season.
The other
5%, we talk about who's going to get the number one pick because they're tanking.
All the time.
And as a basketball fan, again, as someone who is comfortable, someone who gets excited looking at the NBA as a means of entertainment, as a means to lose myself in a sport that I love and kind of forget everything and just purely become a fan, you find you keep thinking the same things. You keep talking about the same games. You talk about the same players over and over and over again. And I'm someone that enjoys every team in the league. I want to see how the Milwaukee Bucks are going to play with Jabari Parker coming back from injury and how will Thon Maker develop. You know, I get interested when I hear Nerlens Noel isn't going to accept the deal that the Dallas Mavericks threw at him because he's looking for maybe a max deal somewhere and he wants to bet on himself only signing a one-year deal now to try to get some more money after this season. I like hearing about how are the Trailblazers going to bounce back this year? Are they going to try to go deep? Are they going to go deeper in the playoffs next year? Or even teams like
maybe
Orlando.
Chris Paul will get out of the second round.
Yeah, you know. So that's a big if, and that's something that you've been checking for a minute. Not giving Chris Paul this pass that he's never gotten out of the first round. Or second round, whatever.
I got Chris Paul's pass sitting right here next to me. when he gets to the Western Conference Finals, I will give him his pass back.
And that's tough because when you looking back at Chris Paul, when he was in New Orleans, you really thought the sky would be the limit for him. You would have thought he was getting at least a ring or at least two rings, quite honestly. I mean, projected to be the best point guard for a long time. Did you ever feel Chris Paul was the best point guard in the league? You've never been a big Chris Paul guy. Have you ever thought that?
I would always, and I'm going to be 100% honest, I would always go Deron Williams over Chris Paul because of Deron Williams' size. But I love the argument, though. I'm not a fan of Chris Paul. I think he's a great leader. And what one of the reasons I'm not a big fan of Chris Paul is because I feel like we just said, he gets this pass for some weird reason. Like, Carmelo has gone further in the playoffs than Chris Paul. But, like, and people seem to forget, like, just I guess because Chris Paul's there every year and Carmelo hasn't been, but if we want to just talk numbers and who's gone further, Carmelo has gone further in the playoffs than Chris Paul. Like, Chris Paul, to me, as great of a leader as he is, or I thought he was, something just doesn't go – like, there's always something. And I'm just tired
of this
guy getting
away. Do you feel like that's part of the media? Do you feel like that's part of the media, painting Chris Paul as this great guy, you know, da-da-da-da, and Melo gets his name out, trashed out all the time?
Yeah, that's probably exactly what it is. Like, I just don't – like, everyone talks shit about Carmelo. He's not a winner. Dwayne Wade, LeBron have rings. Don't forget, Chris Paul is on that banana boat. Like, let's not forget. Like, shit. Like, and everyone loves Chris Paul. Like, people still say he's one of the best point guards in the NBA. I guess. I'm going D Rose over Chris Paul.
Man, oof. See, I don't want to get you mad this late in the episode, but. See, that's tough. It depends on what the rest of your team is looking like. Because if you don't have,
but you know what? For you to even consider it after all D Rose has been through, it's good enough for me.
That's true. That is true. I'll give you that. I hope as the Don't Fly podcast grows, you'll be known as the number one D Rose personality on the internet.
I hope so, because there's still a few real good people, D Rose fans left in this world, and we need to unite this year and make sure our biggest concern is keeping LeBron's ass healthy.
At first, I kind of felt like, damn, I don't want James to just be known as the D Rose guy. But you know what? We can't fight who we are inside, James. And if that's the case, we're gonna let that ride. There, we're gonna embrace that because
hey,
I did
know,
not realize
it's funny.
How real it is.
It is. Oh yeah, it's 100% real. Like it's even wait till the season starts and we have like game recaps. It's going to be 100 times. Rob, you might call me on the side and be like, James, you won't have to chill. And we can't make every episode about Derrick Rose.
I can't wait for that to be the issue. Cause if D Rose starts putting up 24-7, I'm going to have to give you your own channel.
We're going straight to NBA TV. They're going to be like, who the hell are these two?
Oh, my God.
The starters or whatever they are, the starting five, whatever that show is. With
the starters, yeah.
We're going to be on right after them.
Yeah, yo, she. I like that plug. Party people, we've gone about 40 minutes long. I think this was good conversation. The love of the game. We're going to have a solid schedule for finalizing some things. We plan on having some unique content every single day for you guys, especially when that season rolls around. Some ideas that James and I are throwing around, very excited for. You can tweet us at Don't Flop Podcast. Tell us what you thought about this episode. You can email us at don'tfloppodcast@gmail.com. We can shout you out. Let us know what your guys are doing. Let us know your thoughts on this upcoming season, what you do to celebrate. We might have a party. We might do something to commemorate this new season. It's going to be quite the season. This is Rob from the Don't Flop Podcast. Oh, it's going to be. It's going to live up to the hype. There's just no way it can't. I mean, this was the off season, and there was just, I mean, every day is just something to talk about. Like,
and
this season
still
is
going to
be insane.
Rumor has it Cleveland is trying to shop that pick they got, that Brooklyn pick, to try to grab somebody else. So the offseason might not be over yet.
Man, Lord, please don't let the Cavaliers pick up another point guard, because I don't think James can handle it. I don't think James
There's only going to be one half left of the Don't Flop Podcast, because I'm going to quit. I'm going to go live on air and quit.
Yo, please do not put D Rose's minutes in any more jeopardy as they already are. Please.
Yeah, let Isaiah take his time and heal the way he needs to, the proper way.
Yeah, we got to give D Rose, we got to give James and D Rose a month at least, maybe 2 months. Maybe
I need
till Christmas.
I need the first half of the season. I need to about February 17th, something around. I need the first half of the season. D Rose doing that All Star team. Isaiah comes back, they're like, oh, I guess you're just going to have to come off the bench. D. Rose, finals MVP.
Yeah. Oh, see. are you putting that up on the bet board? I had Kyrie.
Oh, you know it's going
MVP.
Up.
You putting D. Rose.
D. Rose won't get the MVP because he has LeBron, but he'll get the finals MVP.
That's not, you know what?
He's
going to
cry with that trophy in his hand.
If Cavaliers win against Golden State and D Rose puts up some crazy numbers and LeBron is cramping up or something and D Rose hits a game winner or two, he might steal Finals MVP. If Andre Iguodala can do it, D Rose can do it.
You're in line.
I hope you know I'm writing it down right now on the bet board. That's it.
Right, write that down in English and Spanish, just in case.
September 5th, D Rose Final MVP. Oh, man. James, sign up for us, man. This is the Don't Flop Podcast. Sign off for us, man.
You know what, Don't Flop family? I really need y'all to do me this one favor. We've been talking for damn near an hour. I need some interaction. I don't know if you guys are scared of the Don't Flop people, if we're a little too harsh, but don't be afraid to throw some venom at us. Throw some fire, some shade, some love. Make sure you call in, talk some trash. If you don't like D Rose, let me know. I might show up at your front door. But this is James from the Don't Flop Podcast. Signed off with my boy Robbie Rob. We'll catch you again later. Peace.
Peace.